Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Brothers and sisters, welcome. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. It is great to have you with me for some time here to pray and delve into the scriptures. Let's put ourselves in God's presence. You can leave your prayer intentions as always. Let's pray for one another and let us draw nearer to the Lord of life. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, you reveal the Father to us and you reveal us to ourselves. You reveal the dignity of human life, and the way in which it should be lived, and what awaits us after death. You reveal, Lord God, the horror of sin, the greatness of your mercy, the path of repentance. Lead us deeper on that path and make us more effective witnesses to your kingdom of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. The feast, we read this passage from the Gospel according to John. The feast of the dedication was taking place in Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus walked about in the temple area on the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Father and I are one. "It is not for any good deed that you have done that we are trying to stone you," Jesus was told, "but for blasphemy. You, a man, are making yourself God." This wasn't the only place or way that he did that, of course. Jesus is God, and he said so. He proclaimed it. The New Testament proclaims it. The church has always proclaimed it. It's a bedrock truth of our faith. Let's explore this a little bit, though, when he says, "The Father and I are one." Now, he always speaks about how the Father sent him and how he will be returning to the Father. We see him praying to the Father. So obviously there's some distinction, and yet he says, "The Father and I are one." He says elsewhere, "When you see me, you see the Father. And you see what I am doing, you see the Father doing it. What I am speaking, you're hearing the words of the Father. I say what he tells me." So what's the oneness? Brothers and sisters, if you think of Jesus as God, now of course he took on a human nature, right? So he has a human mind and a human will, a human body. Those are part of his humanity. But he's a divine person. And as God, he has the mind of God, obviously. Now, let's focus on that for a moment. Jesus has the mind of God, the will of God, the power of God. Okay. Can you think about the mind and will and power of Jesus as God and the mind of the Father? It's the same mind. There's not a divine mind of the Father and a divine mind of the Son. The Son's divine mind is the one mind of God, his will, Jesus' will. Now again, we understand he became human. You can think about this, understand what I'm saying, if you think before he became human. Where's the will of Jesus in relation to the will of the Father? It's actually one and the same. We're not saying they're in sync with one another. We're saying it's exactly the same will. The Father and the Son share the same will. The power. Can you talk about the power of the Father and the power of the Son? No, it's the same power. It's the same God. This, of course, is the mystery of the Trinity. But it emphasizes, when we think about this, the depth of what he is saying here, that the Father and I are one. What does that also mean? That means when we read about the commandments that God the Father gave throughout the Old Testament, or the words that he gave to the prophets, this is Jesus. The Father and I are one, even right from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The beginning is Christ. Christ is creating. Through him all things were made, we say in the creed. John says at the beginning of his gospel. So when the persons of the Trinity are doing something outside the Trinity, because there's only one will, one mind of God, one power, it's all of them doing it. So you can say, but the Son created everything. Yeah, the Father created it, the Son created it, because it's the same power. Not an equal power, the same power, an identical power. The Father and I are one. And what that also means is that the teachings cannot be dismissed. You know, so many people, they look at the teachings of the Old Testament. Now, we know that certain things evolve, right? We don't have to sacrifice bulls and goats and splatter the blood on the people. Imagine, some people get nervous when the priest is splattering the holy water. Can you imagine the liturgies of old when they had splattered the blood on the people? But obviously, as we see in Scripture itself, many of the rituals of old, which were simply prophecies and preparations for Christ, accomplished their purpose and therefore then became obsolete. So we're not talking about that. But as far as the teachings about who God is and the fundamental moral truths, who the human person is, how God created us in his image, male and female, he created them, those things which are enduring truths, the coming of Jesus Christ didn't change that. Again, it changed rituals, liturgies, feast days, yes. Temporary things that were established to point to Christ. But the Father and I are one. So the teachings of God about truth and justice and virtue and respect for life and repentance of sin and love of one another, Jesus fulfills and perfects and greatly expands our understanding of these things, but he never contradicts them, never changes them. Remember what he said, and this is an aspect of the Father and I are one. Not one jot or tittle of the law will be done away with until it all comes true. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Why? Because the Father and I are one. When the Father established all the principles and laws we read about in the Old Testament, he established them with a purpose. Some of them are eternal truths. Some of them are temporary provisions. But he established them all with a purpose that will be fulfilled. That's Jesus establishing them. I emphasize this because some people will come along and say, oh, well, you know, Jesus doesn't require us anymore to be so scrupulous about, you know, the defense of human life or human sexuality. You know, human life, human sexuality, that pertains to our very nature. That's one of the lasting and enduring principles in the Scriptures. Father and I are one. And so is the Spirit. But some people say, oh, well, you know, Jesus came along and, you know, he was kind of softer about the commandments of God. And then the Holy Spirit comes along and, oh, yeah, he's even more. Everything goes now. And some people try to justify sin by invoking Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Father and I are one. One teaching, one message, one gospel that incorporates old and new. The Father and I are one. And therefore, when we are united with the Son, we're united with the Father in the Holy Spirit. The one and the same God, the one who created at the beginning and will raise the dead at the end and judge the world, is the same one that consoles us today and forgives us tomorrow and listens to us when we pray to him. Let's take consolation in that, brothers and sisters. Let's proclaim to the world the one God who is the God of life. Amen. Lord, we come to you again today, rejoicing that you have revealed yourself, that this is not a gospel based on the changing winds of time, but rather on your eternal revelation. We thank you for that, Lord God. Bless us as we continue to live out this journey. Make us witnesses to the kingdom of life. And may we defend the teachings that the Father has given us, and that the Son has reinforced, and that the Spirit reminds us of. May we defend these teachings against any attempt to morph them, or update them, or edit them, or evolve them into something that essentially contradicts them. No, Lord God, we will not allow that to happen. Strengthen us, Lord Jesus, for you and the Father are indeed one. We pray now in the words you gave us to that Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I thank you, friends, for joining me. As I always say, invite others in. There are some people you may know who may be interested in these broadcasts that I don't know and that I can't reach, but you can, and I thank you for doing that. We will talk to you again tomorrow.
Hello, I'm Dr. Alveda King, board member of Priest for Life. More money is being spent in America to kill babies in the womb than to save them. Together, we need to change that, and today I want to invite you to support our work at Priest for Life. Why ours rather than other groups? Because we have a unique team that helps lead in every arena of the fight against abortion, and we activate the churches where you find people who are most likely to get involved in that fight. To awaken a pastor about abortion is to awaken thousands of people he serves. We do not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have a very high evaluation among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.